And so we look to Scripture. Now you read Scripture at home. You have a practice, a regular practice of digesting the Word of God so that it's in you. And now when we read from this bit of Scripture, and when this minister says, I think this bit of Scripture means this, I believe that as the pastor of the church, that the prophetic word from God to you is this, you are equipped with your familiarity with the Scripture to weigh those things. The Holy Spirit of God living in you because you're born again and because you said, God, fill me with your Spirit, because the Holy Spirit dwells within you, He is helping you to understand these words and to weigh them against the other things you've heard God say. So we crack open a Bible at Luke chapter 5 and we say, Lord, help me to understand this. And it's significant. Now, we've looked at before, and tell me if you recognize this bit of Scripture in Luke chapter 5 in verse 12. While Jesus was in one of the cities, there came a man full of leprosy. And when he saw Jesus, he fell on his face and he begged him, Lord, if you will, you can make me clean. And Jesus stretched out his hand and touched him, saying, I will. I do will. Be clean. And immediately the leprosy left him. Yeah. And he charged him to tell no one, but go and show yourself to the priest and make an offering for your cleansing, as Moses commanded. Because, hey, leper, who Jesus is talking to, you know the Scripture. And you know that in the Torah, written by Moses, there is clear instruction about what a man cleansed by leprosy must do. I, Jesus Christ, who am teaching God's will on earth, am lined up with God's will in Scripture. Go, healed man, and show yourself to a priest who alone is the person authorized in the community of faith to declare that leprosy has been cleansed and you may join the community again. Did everyone here know that when they read that? That Jesus said, go see a priest, because a priest is the only one who can say, you are clean, come back into community. Jesus knew that. The leper knew that. We should know that. It's in the Bible. It's available. For a proof to them, the priests, that Jesus Christ is healing lepers. Good news. But, verse 15, now even more the report about him went abroad. Jesus charged him to tell no one, but he didn't listen to Jesus. And he made Jesus' job harder. Great crowds gathered to hear him and to be healed of their infirmities. And Jesus loves people. He speaks to them and he heals them. And look at verse 16. But he would withdraw to desolate places and pray. And we'll stop there for right now in looking at the Scripture. Do you notice in verse 16, as someone did at the Bible study on Wednesday night, do you notice that Jesus would withdraw to desolate places and pray? It calls for interpretation, but it's not a stretch to say that Jesus had a regular prayer practice. We see other instances of the same practice in Scripture, so you kind of can back up the interpretation that when it says desolate places, it doesn't just mean that he visited more than one place when he went to pray that time, but that Jesus' regular practice was to go away, to places away, and to pray. So he did it that time, he did it that time, he did it that time, each time in a different place. Jesus went to different places. He went away to desolate places to pray. And we see it here. In just an offhand remark in between stories, you could miss verse 16 if you just said, but now even more, the report about him went abroad. And so, anyway, here's the next story. Then there was this time one day when he was teaching and there were some Pharisees and teachers. You could do that. He would withdraw to desolate places and pray. It isn't just because Jesus is an introvert. Does anybody know what that word means? You know, introvert versus extrovert, right? Extrovert is external. outside there, the person who will stand up in the middle and just start talking. Introvert, the quiet person, the person who's weighing their thoughts, considering what they say, and then eventually come out with something to say. It's not a right way and a wrong way to be, by the way, right? Extroverts wonder what's wrong with introverts. How come they're not a fully realized person? These people, they never speak up, right? Introverts, there's not something wrong with extroverts. Why are they always talking? It's two different types of ways to be alive on earth. I had a friend, a pastor, a mentor who said, I do not understand why porcupines always end up with turtles. He was talking about relationships between people. He said, I don't know why the porcupines always end up with the turtles. And it was just his little way of speaking to something like this. There's different types of people who are different sorts of ways. Some people are prickly. Some people, they just kind of pull ahead into the shell and be like, I'm going to wait here till this passes by. Valid ways to be human beings. Jesus went away to desolate places to pray. And it isn't just because he's an introverted person. So if you read that as an introvert and you go, yes, I need that. That's fine. If you're the extroverted person, you're like, you know, the prayer meeting helps me better because when other people say stuff, I riff on the ideas of what God's saying. It opens up my mind to possibilities. I need that. So don't shut down on one side or the other as you hear that Jesus went away to desolate places to pray. There's a Christian writer named Amy Patrick, and in an article on introversion, she said this. And it's on the subject of solitude. Solitude in itself isn't inherently helpful or harmful, but the underlying purpose is pivotal. I can go for a run by myself to clear my head and enjoy God's gift of nature, or to sinfully distract myself from something I need to confront. I can sit alone in a coffee shop in order to think deeply and process life events, or to worry about things beyond my control. When I cooperate with the way God has designed me and surrender my solitude to Him, He uses it to refresh my soul in often unexpected and powerful ways. That's what a Christian writer has to write about it. Not the inspired word, but insightful. What is your practice of prayer? Think about that. Where do you pray? When does it happen in your life? How do you pray? Why do you pray?